The information contained on this tape is for educational purposes only and is not intended to be used for diagnosis or treatment. Consult a nutritionally aware healthcare professional for diagnosis and treatment of any disease. Traditional medicine has told us that diseases and their symptoms stem from a wide variety of causes. But more and more, people are discovering that many diseases and the discomforts that arise from them may all be the product of one central cause, acidity in the body. In Acidosis, the Silent Killer, nutrition expert Fred Kaufman shares his personal testimony of victory over acid-related disease and how Coral could help protect you and your family.
I want to start out by giving you a statement to kind of see if your brain's working this morning. And it was a statement by an ancient philosopher, and he said, "Sometimes the truth is so unbelievable, it escapes becoming known." Now, chew on that for a little bit, because it's got some meaning to it. Sometimes the truth is so unbelievable, it escapes becoming known. And what I'm going to do today is tell you some truth that will seem unbelievable, but it's going to trigger something in your brain, the logic in your brain, and you're going to think, you know what, I believe he's right. I didn't get into this business seeking a career. I wasn't out trying to find the best job available. I didn't go looking for the Coral Calcium or a similar product to be an agent to introduce it to a country. It was something that happened to me because of circumstances in my life. When I was growing up, I had a lot of health problems, and these health problems forced me to where I am today because there was a problem, and that is that I couldn't find help with the medical community. We used to buy medication in a half-gallon jug. You've all heard of Benadryl. I used to live on Benadryl because I had a lot of allergies. I had asthma. This was back before they had those little puffers and inhalers, and some children now have breathing machines. They come home from school and hook up to a breathing machine. None of that was available for me. I'm not as old as you might think, but back in those days, I hate to sound old by saying that, these things weren't available. So I just coughed and choked and turned purple, and sooner or later they would drag me off to the hospital. And when I was in high school, I could go to either one of the area hospitals unannounced, walk in, no, they didn't have to call the doctor or anything, and I could get treatment for my asthma. Now, that's pretty bad when they'll take you unannounced. But the thing that really sticks out in my mind was in 1958, I had just overcome polio. I'd overcome a bad heart. And I was sitting in the doctor's office, knowing that I wasn't getting any better, knowing that he had just told my parents once again how bad I really was. And I looked up at him. Now, remember, this was 1958. There weren't health food stores all over. Nobody was talking about vitamins or the subjects that we're talking about today. And I looked up at that doctor, and I said, "Couldn't I take vitamins or something to help build myself up?" Now, this was a pretty profound statement for some little boy. And at that time, the doctor was very amused. I've outlived that doctor, by the way. This was something that I think was a spiritual connection. I think that there was a seed had been planted in my brain when I was 8 years old. Well, it went on till I got into college. By the time I reached college, I was taking two shots in each arm twice a week. And I just got tired of it. After a year, I just told the doctor, "Look, I'm not getting any better. I really think that I can find something else." And he said, What are you talking about? This is the best we have to offer. The medical community, medical science, doesn't have anything better than what you're taking right now." And I said, "Well, it's not good enough. I'm not getting any better. I want to get better. Somehow I want to find out a way to at least become somewhat normal in my health." So this is what really the motivation was. All of these childhood health problems and the frustration of taking the best that medical science had to offer and it didn't work. So I started out with the health food store at the college town that I was in, very small, not much to offer. And I started taking some products and changed my diet. I tried to exercise. Now, I couldn't take gym class. I couldn't get a permit from my doctor to take gym class because I was so sick. So this was almost like sneaking around the corner to do something bad, but it wasn't bad. I mean, exercising isn't bad. That's not an evil. But it was off limits to me. And I thought, I've got to try to build myself up. So I did. And in a few months, you won't believe this, but in a few months, just a few short months after 18, 19 years of suffering, my symptoms were almost gone. I'm telling you, I was motivated then. I wanted to know more and more and more. This went on for 10 years. I couldn't get enough information. I wasn't looking for a career in medical science. I wasn't wanting to be a doctor. But I started to learn about things that seemed to me secrets that the medical community had overlooked. It wasn't medicine, it was science. And science is indisputable if done correctly. When you start to consider that here was a situation where a man with no background whatsoever could learn things to supersede what the doctors had tried with all of their background, all their education, I was very much encouraged to move forward. So this went on for about 10 years, as I said, and all of a sudden there was another turning point, another prophetic thing I believe happened in my life. I was involved very much in exercise, and I loved endurance exercise. I could swim underneath the water in a pool all the way down and all the way back with one breath. For a guy with bad asthma, that was phenomenal. I would ride my bicycle, a 12-speed bicycle, and I put it into 12th gear the day I bought it, and I never took it out. I always rode in 12th gear. And some of you might think, well, why would you make it so difficult for yourself? I wanted to build myself up. And the only way you can build yourself up is with resistance. You cannot sharpen a razor on a piece of velvet. So I was riding my bicycle through the country one day. I used to ride about 20 miles a day. And I came to a little town, and there was a garage sale. Now, I'm on a bicycle. I didn't have any reason to stop and shop. But I did. And there were two things that I purchased that day. One was a little book, a little Bible. And this little leather-bound Bible really touched me because it looked as though someone had abused it. It looked like somebody had used it as a cutting board. And I thought to myself, with a price of 10 cents, if I don't buy this, who will? What will they do with it? It was an ugly-looking thing. What would happen to this book? And I felt I was rescuing this Bible. But I didn't leave yet. I found another book for 10 cents. And it was a book simply titled Acid and Alkaline. It didn't mean much to me. I'd had chemistry, acid and alkaline. What did that have to do with health? So I bought the book, bought the Bible, and I brought them home. And those two books changed my life. They had an impact on my life that to this day is very, very vivid in my life. What happened was I found in this book called Acid and Alkaline that there was a basic underlying principle of survival of life for all living things. Not only humans, but bugs, animals, plants. Every single thing was dependent on a balance of acid and alkaline. Try to imagine a scale, and when that scale has nothing on it, it's even. It's balanced. But if you start putting too many things on one side, ignoring the other, what happens? It tilts. And I believe that that's what's happened to every one of you in this room who have any health challenges. That your scale is out of balance. And there's a way that you can bring that back into balance. Now consider also that if we were to send a man up into space, you'd have to have certain things with you to create an environment duplicating what you have here on Earth in order to go out into space. Leave out one element, one critical element, and that environment will not support life. Likewise, I believe that we all have an internal environment. This environment is affected by many things, but an environment all the same, it either allows health to exist or it allows disease to exist. Which environment do you have? If you have one that's allowing disease to exist, wouldn't you like to know how to change it? And if you could change it and that environment would not allow the disease, whether it be bacterial in origin, viral in origin, parasitic in origin, fungal in origin. It really doesn't matter. All of these terms really don't matter. If you change the environment, whatever that is, cannot survive. It's a proven fact. It's science. It's not medicine. It's science. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I mean. I'm going to explain this to you in very simple terms. First of all, I'd like to say that when you consider that there are a lot of different health supplements out there, it gets to be very confusing. And I know that each of you in here did not have 30 years to go out and research this information like I did. You don't have the time. You may not have the resources available to you. So I'm going to try to give you in a nutshell. I don't have very long today. I could stand up here for 5 or 6 hours. But I'm going to try to put this all together for you so that you'll be able to walk out of here and have a little better understanding of this vast world of nutritional supplements. First of all, we have to realize that we all need water. Everybody needs water. Your body is made up of 65 to 70% water. Your blood is almost 85% water. Your brain is about 75% water. I'm going to explain to you today why it makes a difference what kind of water that is. One of the things that happened after I'd been studying about health for 10 years, I had another prophetic thing happen. I had a desire, an insatiable curiosity, I call it, to learn about cancer. Now, this was very strange for someone who had no family history of cancer. I never knew anybody that had cancer. And at about 30 years old, it was really kind of a criticism from my friends. What's the matter with you? Let's go out and party. I said, no, I want to read these books about cancer. And they said, well, you got a death wish or something? What's wrong with you? I said, no, I can't explain it, but I just want to learn. And I found books that were from underground sources. I found books that I had to mail off for. I called people on the phone that I'd read about that had survived cancer after they had been told that they weren't going to live. And I thought, if one person could survive after they'd been told they were going to die, then why couldn't all of us? If it would happen to one. You see, it's not the disease, it's not the name that we give to the disease that's the problem. The problem is understanding how this environment was created to allow the disease to exist. And I'm going to give you some insight on that. But after 5 years of studying about cancer, something happened that made me understand why I had this curiosity, why it was planted in my brain. My mother came back from the Mayo Clinic filled with cancer. The doctor said she probably wouldn't live 5 or 6 months. She called all over the world, literally all over the world, looking for a clinic that would take her. And when they found out what kind of cancer that she had, they said, don't even bother. We can't do anything for it. The Mayo Clinic, one of the most prestigious clinics in the world, said, there's nothing we can do for you. She said, well, give me chemotherapy then. They said, you don't understand. It's too late. It's too far gone. Radiation, give me radiation. And they said, look, you don't understand, it won't work. It won't help your kind of cancer, and it's too much to deal with. She was devastated. And I came to her and I said, Mother, I think I know how to beat this thing. And she said, what could you possibly know that they don't know at the Mayo Clinic? I said, I believe they're approaching it from the wrong direction. They're looking at those tumors as the cancer. I want you to take a different look at it and look at your environment as being out of balance. Something is out of balance that caused this, allowed this to happen to you. And what we're going to do is set out on a program to completely change your environment drastically, radically, as quickly as we can. So we did. And it went back to that little book, that little 10-cent book. I believe that her body had become too acid. We were born alkaline. We came out of a bag of fluid, if you will, that was alkaline. And then we start becoming involved with our own food choices. We listen to the advertisements and they tell us how good this stuff is. We should try this. We should eat this. We even have been fooled into thinking that because it comes from such notable media sources, that this stuff has to be good for you. It can't possibly harm you. I mean, everybody knows if you eat too much chocolate cake, you're going to get fat. But other than just being big, I mean, what does that matter? What I found out is that there were a lot of things that we were being told that really weren't true. And I wanted to explain to my mother what the truth was. And that is, all of these things that are cooked, canned, and processed are acid. If your body was designed to be alkaline and you're taking in acid, what happens to that scale? You see, we need to eat in terms of bringing in to balance those things that our body needs. You need about 80% of your diet to be alkaline. Maybe 20% could be acid, but the 80% will outbalance. It will equal out so that you're not harmed by that amount of acid that comes in. A little bit of acid won't hurt you, but too much acid, excuse me, will change that scale. So that's what I did with my mother. I said, look, you've got to do a radical change to make this difference in your environment. You've got to become alkaline by eating only raw fruits and vegetables. That wasn't the only thing that she did, but in terms of her diet, she only ate raw fruits and vegetables. I grew up with this woman for 30 years. I don't remember ever seeing her eat a salad. She always made sure her six children and her husband ate well. But I remember her eating over the stove, eating over the sink, making sure we were all taken care of. And I thought, you know, this is a problem. She has not taken into consideration this balance, didn't know. She just didn't know. As many of you are probably thinking, I didn't know either. Now we're going to go a little bit further, and I'm going to explain to you what the difference is in alkaline and acid. But first, I want to tell you that 14 years later, my mother's still alive. Maybe it started when I was 8 years old. But my mother is here today. And I'm not going to give you specifics of all the things she did because I'm not here to prescribe anything for anybody. Everybody can learn the same information I learned. But you don't have to spend all that time learning it. I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell today. Let's look at it this way. When you have a pH scale of 1 to 14, it doesn't mean anything to you. When you hear the words acid and alkaline, it really doesn't mean anything to you. But acid is the opposite of alkaline, and it has to do with these hydrogen ions. Let's look at water, for example. Water is H2O1. H is hydrogen, O is oxygen. Everybody can understand that. The difference between acid and alkaline is the concentration of the hydrogen. Now that's getting a little bit scientific, but I'm going to make it a little bit easier for you. pH means potential hydrogen. If you focus in on that, what you're going to understand then is if you have too much concentration of hydrogen, it's an acid. And what happens is that it ties up the O, the oxygen. You see, the O has to be available for you, for your cells. If your cells don't have O, if they don't have oxygen, they can't survive. The environment is not correct. They have to have oxygen. But I want to tell you, there are some things that do not like oxygen. And for them, having the oxygen all tied up by the hydrogen makes no difference. In fact, they prefer it that way. And what do you suppose those things are that like acid? Here's one of those simple truths. All of the harmful bacteria, all of the harmful fungus, all of the harmful viruses that affect our health, all of them love an acid environment. They are anaerobic. That's a big word that means they don't want oxygen. They require other things besides oxygen. But everybody in here knows that we require oxygen. So what can we do then to learn how to have more oxygen available? Well, it's very simple. You want more alkaline. Because when you have more alkaline, there's less concentration of hydrogen. That's scientific. pH, potential hydrogen. Too much concentration of hydrogen is acid. Very little concentration of hydrogen is alkaline. That means that the oxygen is not all tied up. It's not dominated by the hydrogen. Well, it seems very simple to me. We need more oxygen. Let's get more alkaline. But how do you do it? It's very difficult for all of us to go out there and eat only raw fruits and vegetables. I tried it. For a long, long time, I only ate raw fruits and vegetables. But when I traveled and I had to eat normal food because I couldn't carry all these things with me, it seemed like I was having trouble with my stomach. Because I wasn't used to eating things that were normal in our diet. And I think the same thing would happen to all of us. It seems like your digestive system gets used to a certain way of living, a certain way of eating, and if you change that, it upsets it. So I had to start realizing that it wasn't a perfect world. I was going to have to come up with a plan that I could share with other people that was simple. And my mother used to tell me, she said, Fred, you really want to help people. You've got a heart for helping people, but it's too complicated. You've got to figure out a way to make it simpler for people. Some way that every man, woman, and child could do the same thing, and it wouldn't be a big radical change in their lifestyle. And I said, Mother, there is no other way. You have to have a raw fruit and vegetable diet, or at least eat 80% of your food raw to become alkaline. And she said, well, you keep working on it. You've got to find a way. So I did. And I started working with doctors, scientists. Believe it or not, this little punk kid from Decatur, Illinois, ended up working with scientists all over the world. And I worked in a couple of medical clinics. Believe it or not, I wasn't a doctor, I wasn't licensed in any way, but this doctor knew that there were pieces of information, pieces of a puzzle that I had that made sense to him. They were things that he had learned when he was in medical school in the scientific part of it, the chemistry part of it, but they were kind of forgotten. They were kind of pushed over into a corner. They weren't as important as learning about the drugs and the surgery. And he said, you know, what your belief is, what your philosophy is, makes a lot of sense, and it's very simple. He said, I want you to come into my clinic and establish a nutritional program. I said, I'd love it. He said, I'm going to supervise you. I'm going to watch everything you do. And then he gave me his worst patient. I thought, well, this isn't fair. You know, you've been dealing with this woman for a year. You couldn't help her. You're giving me your worst patient, but I accepted the challenge. 6 days later, I got a call from the lady. I designed a program for her. She called up. She said, I want to make an appointment for my son. I said, wait a minute. What about you? And she said, I'm fine. I said, you couldn't be fine. You were just so riddled with disease, headaches, every day of her life for over 30 years. She had constipation. She had sleep disorder. She wasn't allowed to drive a car. Here was a lady who taught science in high school, and she wasn't allowed to drive a car by herself because she needed somebody to pinch her on the arm or slap her in the face or something if she started to go to sleep. This was terrible. And in 6 days, all of her symptoms were gone. What do you suppose I told her? I said, ma'am, you've got a balance problem. Your body's out of balance. You've got to bring it back into balance radically. She said, well, what do I eat? What am I supposed to eat? She said, I already shop in the health food store. I'm already eating good food. I don't just get anything off the shelf at the grocery store. And I said, I think what you need to do is stop eating altogether. Let your body clean itself out. She said, how am I going to live with no food? And I said, you can juice fruits and vegetables and just drink the liquid. It was a radical approach. I mean, this isn't easy to do. You couldn't go through your normal work routine and carry a juicer around with you, let alone carry a bag of raw carrots with you. But she did that, and it turned her life around. So this was more encouragement to me that this acid-alkaline balance thing was really important. So I started to learn from other doctors, other scientists. I started attending seminars. I took home study courses. I did everything I could to learn everything I could, and I had no intention of a career helping people. I just shared this information with my friends and family. How many of you know that a prophet is not welcome in his own land? I had more success with total strangers than I did with the people closest to me. So I had to have a way of finding something, a substance, that could make it easier. My mom kept encouraging me, keep looking, keep looking. One day I got a call. This was another prophetic thing that happened, I believe. I hope you excuse me for saying prophetic, but that's the way I feel about it. I got a phone call from a scientist in Sweden who was also studying about cancer. And I said, how did you find me? He said, a man in Australia told me. I said, I don't know anybody in Australia either. And he said, well, we need to share information. Is that okay with you? And I said, yeah. One day he called up after we had been establishing our relationship for several months, and he said, you know, I believe that minerals are far more important than vitamins. And I said, okay, I'll agree with that. You've got to have minerals. In fact, if you don't have minerals, the vitamins cannot be absorbed. And I said, okay, I'll go along with that. Now what? He said, we've got to search the world and find the best source of minerals. I said, okay. You look over in your part of the world, I'll look in my part of the world. And we started sharing information back and forth. One day he sent me a little plastic bag, had some ground up rock in it. He said, these are magnetic minerals from Germany. I said, wonderful, maybe this is it. I'd already studied about magnets and the effect on health and effect on living organisms, and I thought, maybe this is it. But it wasn't. He put me in touch with a company that had found a vein in a mountain that had a cheese-like substance in it that was rich with minerals, and it could be mixed up in water and it could be consumed more easily than these ground-up rocks. And I thought, maybe this is it. There were a lot of wonderful testimonials. But after I investigated, I thought, no, this isn't it either. It doesn't have all the answers to what I'm looking for. He had me in touch with a doctor in Budapest, Hungary. Now, I don't speak Hungarian, and that was a real difficulty communicating, but we were able to get through. They had an interpreter over there, so I was satisfying my curiosity. And he taught me some very interesting things. And you know, this man had worked with humans, but that's not where he started. He was a plant doctor. He was given a task to figure out why plants get sick. In particular, a potato plant that was being devastated by a leaf roll virus. And that means that the virus would attack the plant and the leaves would roll up. If the leaves can't get exposure to the sunshine and to the rain, the plant can't live. So he had the task, of figuring out why these potato plants were dying of this leaf roll virus, and is there some way to protect them? And the first thing that a doctor or a scientist has to do is establish a control. They need to know what they're working with. So he couldn't just take a box with some soil in it or a pot with some soil in it. He had to know what the soil was. So he could have two pots or three or four or many pots and know that all of them had exactly the same kind of soil. You have to do that when you're dealing with science. And he found out that there were differences in the soil. So he had to add minerals to begin with to the soil to make sure they were all the same. And there was the secret. He found that if he balanced that soil, if he balanced the minerals in that soil, the potato plants never got sick. He could take a potato plant that had the leaf roll virus and set it right next to one that didn't, and it would the balanced minerals in the soil, and it would never get sick. He also found out that bugs didn't like them. Bugs didn't like to come around the plants that had the balanced minerals. He then decided to make a formula. And he started giving it to animals. The animals didn't get sick. In fact, if the animals were sick, if they had problems, they seemed to recover. Some took longer than others. Then he decided to give it to humans. Same thing. He found tremendous results with people who had problems that had heretofore been challenges, unsurpassed, could not get through, could not have a breakthrough, and he would give them these minerals and they would recover. Why aren't we being told that? So by increasing the alkalinity, increasing the oxygen, we can help to strengthen the cells. We can give them what they need. And we can also make it difficult for these other things to survive. Cancer starts out in an area of the body where it's acid. Cancer cells start out as mutated cells that are trying to survive in an area of acid. And what happens is, as they mutate, they now don't need oxygen anymore. What they really want is acid with no oxygen. So, again, change the environment. What I would like to do now is talk to you about another thing having to do with longevity. A man in France, Alexis Carrel, had figured out a way to increase longevity using the same acid alkaline principle, and he used a chicken heart. Chickens don't really live very long. The chickens you see in the grocery store are probably only about 6 weeks old. And those are pretty big chickens sometimes. It was really surprising to me to find out that this man had taken a chicken heart and kept it alive for 28 years. 28 years. That's unbelievable. I've never seen a 28-year-old chicken. What happens to these chickens that they can't live to be 28 years old, but you could take the heart out and put it in a beaker of water, put the nutrients in that are in the bloodstream, and keep it alive for 28 years. The secret? He balanced the acid and the alkaline every day. Every day he changed that fluid to make sure it was alkaline, just the right alkalinity. And you know what he said? At the conclusion of his study, he said that chicken heart would have lived forever. I got tired of changing the water. He quit 28 years every day. He said, I've learned enough. I know that this is the way to increase longevity, is to have an alkaline system, to have the water that this heart was in alkaline. How many of you know that your heart is surrounded by water? How many of you know that the blood circulating through your heart is 85% water? Does anybody here agree with me? It would make a difference what kind of water that is. Over in England, they did a study. They took the brain fluid, a sample from the brains of young boys, and they gave them an intelligence test. And they compared it. They found out that if the fluid was alkaline, the boys were smarter. How many would like to have more alkaline brain fluid? You see, it's not medicine. I'm not teaching you anything here that you'd have to get from a doctor. This is science. Go to your local high school if you don't believe me and ask the science teacher about acid and alkaline. Go to an aquarium shop and ask that man in there, are there any critical things I should know about the quality of this water? And he'd say, yes. If you're going to use tap water, let the chlorine evaporate out of it because that's harmful to them. How many are drinking water right out of the tap? Well, you've learned at least that much. If it's not good for a fish, hello. But there are reasons that they put chlorine in there is to kill bacteria. And ever since 1890, we've seen a decline in waterborne bacteria that causes disease. So it was good. But at the same time, they found an increase in other things. Now, I'm not up here to tell you that chlorine causes any health problems. I'm just saying if it's not good for fish, I don't want it either. If a fish needs oxygen, I want oxygen. These are just basic principles that you need to understand. There are a couple of other things that I learned. One of them was that just out of my trying to satisfy my curiosity, there was something that was brought to my attention in the news many, many years ago that didn't make sense to me. They said that cholesterol from our diet is plugging up our arteries. How many have heard that? How many have ever had their cholesterol tested? Did you do it because you were scared? I mean, if they're telling us that this is a way to find out if you're going to have a problem with your heart, if those arteries slam shut because they're clogged up, you need to know what that number is to see how close you are to having those arteries slam. I mean, that's what they've been telling us, isn't it? Let me ask you something. Why does the cholesterol from your diet only plug up your biggest veins, the arteries? You've got veins in there as small as a human hair. Why aren't they clogged up first? I didn't know why, but I knew one thing. It didn't make sense. So I tried to find the answer. And I found out that the artery is different than the other veins. It has a layer of muscle, and this muscle contracts and it helps the flow of blood for the heart. It helps pump the blood for the heart. So what happens is, there's acid, lactic acid, that comes out every time a muscle produces energy. If you've ever run up a flight of stairs and you had a burning sensation in your legs, you know what lactic acid is. You may not know what it was called, but you know what it feels like. And if your fluid around these muscles, this water, is not alkaline to neutralize that acid, it'll burn. And the reason it burns is the same reason it burns when you get acid on your hand. What I found out is that as this muscle helping the heart was producing energy, producing lactic acid, it was literally burning a hole in that muscle, which wouldn't have mattered if it was in your leg. But in an artery full of blood, what happens? You got a leak. You got to plug that leak. So the blood clots, coagulates. But if that keeps flexing, it'll crack because that patch was rigid. It was stiff. It was hard, non-flexible. So after a while, this buildup causes an even greater problem. And the brain knows that there's a problem, and the brain says, wait a minute, this isn't working. The normal method of stopping a leak is not working in this case. We need to have a flexible, gooey patch to stick over that hole. And coincidentally, it's called cholesterol. But it's not from your diet. it's manufactured in the liver. Now, this may be a revelation for you, but I found out that it wasn't a matter of how many hamburgers with cheese on them that you ate. It was a matter of how much alkaline fluid you had. Now, when we look back at, again, this coral calcium producing alkaline water, giving the minerals that can keep that fluid around your organs, in your blood, in your brain fluid, can keep that alkaline, that's an important factor. I'll give you another example. How many have heard of kidney stones? How many have heard of osteoporosis? I mean, these are things that are in the news about our health that we have to be aware of, and it doesn't make sense. What is it that triggers a woman, and it happens to men too, what happens to a woman to trigger all of a sudden, later in life, the loss of bone? I had to know the answer. But what the explanation was didn't make sense. And what I also found out was that some people that had osteoporosis, a loss of bone, they had calcium showing up in large amounts in the bloodstream. Now, wait a minute. What happened to make the body not absorb calcium? Do you know that calcium is the most important mineral for any living thing? A bug, a plant, a dog, or a cat, you and me, calcium is the number one mineral. Why would the body not want to absorb calcium? But I found out that the blood calcium was not calcium from the diet that wasn't being absorbed. It was actually calcium from the bone. Why would the body be stealing calcium from the bones? And where was it going? It's in this bloodstream. Where was the body taking it? I'll tell you where it was taking it, to that area of acid. Because the body knows that this acid is destructive. It has to neutralize it somehow, some way, and it can be so desperate to do that that it'll steal it from the warehouse, the bone. The largest deposit of calcium in your body is in your bones. The blood has to be between 7.35 and 7.45 pH. It gets a little bit too low, and you're dead. It has to be. It's critical that that blood stay in that range. It can go a little bit either way, but it's critical it stays in that range. So we have to understand that if that blood starts to drop and you're not taking in the right kind of calcium, you're not taking enough calcium in through your daily diet, if you're not eating enough raw fruits and vegetables that have a lot of calcium, you got a problem. Because you're gonna find yourself in a situation of desperation, a crisis, and your body's going to respond because your body is going to try to do everything it can to keep you alive, even if it means you're going to be all hunched over. If you have kidney stones, why would calcium collect in the kidney? Don't you know that that's where the kidneys take the acid out of the blood? Do you know that the urologist that monitors people that have kidney problems and people who have to be on dialysis, do you know what they're looking at? Acid. The one doctor out there that understands acid is the urologist, the guy that's dealing with the kidney problems. And if you have too much acid and your kidneys aren't taking it out, you're dead. And so they'll take you in and put you on a machine, or they'll give you a kidney transplant or something. But let's look at it a little bit more logically. If the body is trying to get rid of acid out of the blood, and it becomes very, very difficult, now you've got acid in the kidneys. How can the kidneys survive if they're full of acid? They can't. So calcium has to be brought in to neutralize the acid that the kidneys are taking out. The calcium isn't from cheese. It's not from milk. It's not from your diet. It's, again, calcium from the bone. Because normally calcium can be dissolved, but when it's bonded together with acid crystals, you've got a rock, and you can't take that kidney stone and dissolve it in a glass of water. So we have to realize that there are some things that we have been told as we've gone through our lives about some of the things that are affecting us that really don't make sense. And remember how I started this conversation? Sometimes the truth is so unbelievable it escapes becoming known. It has escaped us. But it's still the truth. It still holds water that the things that are causing us to break down have to do with acid. I talked to a man in Florida who wrote a book. He was a very notable scientist, and he said, I've got it all figured out. So he wrote a book called Reverse Aging. I read the book, and he talked about acid and alkaline. I thought, I got to talk to this guy on the phone, so I called him up. And I said, you mean to tell me that the problem with aging is acid and alkaline balancing too? It's the problem with disease. And he said, I know. He said, Fred, it's so simple that if you have 10 years of accumulated acid waste that your body's trying to be, has been trying to take out of the bloodstream and away from the vital organs, away from the brain, if you have 10 years of accumulated acid waste and you can find a way to neutralize that waste and get it out of the body, you will make yourself 10 years younger. That's big news. Now, what if we had a way to neutralize acid waste and get it out of the body? What if we had a way to neutralize acid waste and get it out of the body and all you had to do was drink water? Pretty simple. And that's what the coral calcium does. It helps you to neutralize acid. Acid waste is produced by your cells every second of every day of your life. You see, the cells are alkaline by design, but they're acid by function. Every time it produces energy, a cell produces an acid waste. If the acid waste is coming out into body fluid and that fluid is also slightly acid, you got a problem. But if that acid is coming out into fluid that's slightly alkaline, it's a bonus. You can run up that flight of stairs and your legs won't burn. They may a little bit, but they won't burn like they would if you were on the acid side. We found athletes, Olympic athletes, that have found that by drinking coral-enriched water, alkaline water, full of ionic calcium, they could run faster. Not really because they had any more athletic prowess, but because they didn't have that burning in their legs. How many know that you could run faster if you didn't have pain? And so we find that we have a lot of different things that are symptoms that have been given names, but they really only have one root cause. How many have pain in their knees that was called arthritis? Could it be that that's nothing more than a place where the body tried to remove and deposit acid waste to get it out of the system? You see, we have to start to understand that if what we're being told about our health isn't logical, if it doesn't also apply to other living things, then there's something wrong. Don't kill the messenger. Just try to find out why the message is wrong.
Thank you for listening to this valuable information from Mr. Fred Kaufman. For further information about acidosis, please contact the person who gave you this tape.